Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
This is my story. And over the next few weeks, for the rest of this month, through Thanksgiving, I want us to understand the power of our story. Every one of you, every single one of you who is a follower of Jesus, you have a weapon that God has given you that no one can touch, that no one can do anything about, and that literally has the power to defeat and destroy every plan of the enemy and every attack of the enemy over your life. And that weapon is your story. Everybody say my story. We're going to be in Revelations chapter 12. This is going to be kind of the foundation for this message series. And we'll probably be here every single week. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. I'm going to get to some of the context in a moment, but let me just share this with you. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 says, "They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to death." Did I skip verse 10? Let's go back to verse 10, sorry. "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die.'" The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence in this room this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here, alive, awake on the inside of us, speaking to us, talking to us, and ready to minister to us, Lord. I pray everyone in this room this morning, God, anyone that has a need in their life, Lord, I pray that Jesus, as we look at your word together, that you will reach from heaven, reach into their heart, and touch them, Father God, the very place that they need it, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that we will receive everything that you have for us today in this place. In Christ's name I pray. Everybody said amen and amen. How many of you guys like to go to the movies? Anybody like movies? I love movies. I love watching movies. I like but a lot of people don't go to the movies very much anymore. You might watch it on Netflix or watch it on TV or watch it on your phone or wherever. But I love movies, man. Always have. And I like the experience of going to the movie. Now, it's got to be a good movie. I'm not just going to go see a movie that's stupid. It's got to be like a movie going. It's got to be a movie worth going to the movies for. You know what I'm saying? Basically, any of the Marvel movies. I haven't seen Thor. Anybody seen Thor yet this weekend? Any of the Marvel movies, I'm going to the theater to see that. I want the movie theater popcorn with all the extra butter. I want the giant Coke that I'm paying $47 for. I want all of the whole experience, and I want to see my favorite superheroes on the big screen. And there's been a lot of famous movies through the years, but what's funny is I like sometimes the story behind the story. Anybody ever catch like a documentary on how a movie was made? Or like there was a really good one a few years ago I saw about the backstory, the behind the scenes, the story behind Rocky. And knowing the story behind Sylvester Stallone and Rocky and what they went through to make that movie, the first and the second one especially, it's amazing. There's a story behind the story that really is powerful and it's awesome. And so sometimes when you get to the story behind the story, you find out that some of your favorite characters and some of the favorite famous actors that played movies, they weren't even the guys who were supposed to play those characters at all. For instance, I got a few examples of this. Number one, everybody will probably know who's that guy? Will Smith right now, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Don't sing the song. We're not singing the song this morning. We're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But this is Will Smith. Will Smith, famous actor, superstar, Hollywood, whatever. Do you know this? Will Smith was originally offered the part of Neo in The Matrix. Can you imagine The Matrix starring Will Smith and not Keanu Reeves? That seems mind-boggling, but he actually turned down the role of Neo, and somewhere how long away got to look at this one. This is really shocking. We got the next guy here, John Travolta. Now we all know John Travolta, and he's a weird Scientologist guy, whatever. You know, he's kind of off the deep end. John Travolta was originally scheduled to play Forrest Gump. Can you imagine Forrest Gump starring John Travolta and not the other guy, Tom Hanks? This is one that hits home for me. This is a guy. How many know who that guy is? Right, probably none of you. His name's Doug Ray Scott. I never heard of him either. He's got one of those faces. I'm sure I've seen him in something. This is the guy that was originally scheduled, that was originally had the part to play Wolverine in all of the X-Men movies that have been out over the last 15 years, that, of course, has been played by Hugh Jackman. Can you imagine, any X-Men fans, any Wolverine, can anybody imagine anybody else's Wolverine other than Hugh Jackman? Like, there's no. In fact, they say he's retiring after the next couple of X-Men movies. I don't even know who else is going to play the part. It's going to be a big deal. But that was the original Wolverine. Look, here's one from back in the day. Check this out. How many know who that guy is? Frank Sinatra, old Mickey Blue Eyes, right? Frank Sinatra was originally had the part and turned it down of Dirty Harry. Can you imagine Frank Sinatra as Dirty Harry and not Clint Eastwood? Would have been a completely different movie. Here's another one, completely different movie. That's, of course, Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean, all that. You know what Johnny Depp turned down? Johnny Depp was supposed to be Ferris Bueller in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and he turned that role down and it went to Matthew Broderick. I can't even fathom Ferris Bueller starring Johnny Depp. It makes no sense. Here's another one. This is almost offensive. This is Kevin Costner, and we all love Kevin Costner. He's a lot of movies, but he's basically been the same guy from Dances with Wolves in all of his movies ever since then. Just the same part. It's just a different setting. Anyway, Kevin Costner was originally supposed to be Tim Robbins' character in The Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing. No, there's no way. Nobody else can be Andy Dufresne except Tim Robbins. That doesn't make any sense at all. I wouldn't even know that movie. This is another one. This is each one gets bigger than the rest. This is anybody know who that is? Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz. He's like one of those faces. He's been in a lot of 80s movies. He was originally supposed to be Marty McFly in Back to the Future. In fact, you can go on YouTube and go online and find the original scenes that they filmed with Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly instead of Michael J. Fox, and they scrapped the whole deal and started the whole thing over. They made a casting change. And then the last one, the man, the myth, James Bond, the original James Bond, Sir Sean Connery. Sir Sean Connery was originally offered the part of Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings. Can you imagine that? You can kind of see that, but I still, after watching those movies, I can't imagine Sean Connery as Gandalf. You know what I mean? You shall not pass. You know, it wouldn't have sounded the same as when Ian McKellen said it. That was actually not a bad Sean Connery. I thought that was pretty good. So the point of all this is this. Every great story has to have a great leading man, a great main character. And to the point where some guys, when you're writing a story, they're filming a story, they're making a movie, when the main character isn't right, they'll scrap the whole thing or go back and shoot and go back over weeks and maybe even months of production to make sure that the main characters are right and the main character is correct. And today, as we begin looking at This Is My Story, we want to make sure that we have the right cast of characters, and the right main characters in our story so that we can have a powerful story. Now, let's look. We're in Revelation chapter 12. I know I told you Revelation, you thought, finally, we're going to talk about the end of the world. Now, we're not going to dig into a big Revelation study here because that's just not what I feel like God's called me to do. Basically ever, but what we can look at, here's what you know about Revelation. Revelation is written by the Apostle John. Everybody say the Apostle John. This is one of John's 12 disciples, the same guy who wrote the book of the Gospel of John, the same John who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, also writes Revelation. Now, this is written many years after Jesus has been crucified, resurrected from the dead. Many years, the church is exploding all over the world. Churches are being planted. People are being persecuted. John, when he writes Revelation, is in the middle of a prison term on an island. They didn't build prisons. They just sent all the worst of the worst offenders, rapists, murderers, thieves, the worst of the worst, all went to this place called the Isle of Patmos, and they just said, here, you're on your own. And they shoved John, this preacher, there because he was obviously in the same category as rapists, murderers, thieves, and everything else. That's how he was being persecuted. The Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos as he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And the Lord shows him this vision of things to come, John says. And so John is seeing this vision of something that's being played out. And this is really, when we look at this particular scripture, there's lots of things that happen in Revelation. But you have to understand that what Revelation is, it is a vision. And imagine if you're from the first century and you are being shown things of 2017. Like, imagine you're the first century and you get shown an iPhone. How are you going to describe an iPhone to someone in the first century and you don't even know what it is yourself? I see in the future everyone staring at thin plex glass pictures. That's their whole life is right here. And so we read that in the first century. We're like, what is he? He's trying to describe something, but he doesn't have the proper understanding to describe what he's seeing. So that's why John uses all these really weird, crazy words, and he's trying to write down the best he can these things he sees, because he's seeing things that he has no context in which to describe it in, right? And so it can be very difficult for us to translate it, and we're not going to try to do that. Here's what you need to know about this text. This is an amazing thing about God you're going to learn here. John is seeing, this is the beginning of the end. John sees lots of visions in heaven as he's having this vision of heaven and what God's doing in the end things. Revelation chapter 12 is around the beginning of the end. God is showing John a picture of kind of the beginning of the end times, the end of earth. Now, listen to me real quick. Here's what you need to know about Revelation. If you ever read Revelation, you need to know what the point of Revelation is. And the point of Revelation is not for you and me to know the day and the hour in which Christ is going to return. The point of Revelation is not for you and me to sit around discerning the news programs and trying to pick and choose where all these signs are taking place. The point of Revelation and the whole point of God showing John the end times, it has one main point in it, and it's this. At the end of the world, Jesus is going to be crowned king. Bam, that's it. John, you're going through all kinds of stuff. You're being imprisoned. You're being beaten. You're being persecuted. The church is going through some turmoil. Your life is turned upside down. But I'm going to show you the end so that you'll know that what you're going through is going to be connected to a greater end. And the end of all this is Christ is king. Amen? That's the point of the revelation. Christ becomes king. And so John is seeing the beginning of how God is going to set this up finally and place all things under Christ's feet and finally crown Christ again. It's the beginning of the end. But now, here's the amazing thing. So John is seeing a flash forward. Now, I also believe that at the same time, John is seeing a flashback. He's seeing one picture, one story play out in front of him when we read Revelation 12, but it's both a flashback and a flash forward at the same time. How can that be possible? It's possible because God is the Alpha and the Omega, the Bible says in Revelation as well. He is the beginning, and at the exact same time, he is the end. So God can stand at the beginning of a thing and also be at the same time at the end of a thing. So God can show John one picture, and it's a flashback, and at the same time, it's a flash forward. He's showing John something that has already happened, and yet he is showing John something that is going to happen. And so he sees this, and so if you read Revelation 12, tells a story, says there's a woman who gives birth to a child. That woman represents both Israel and the church. It first represents Israel, who gave birth to Jesus, and then later on in Revelation 12 represents the church, who is grafted into Israel and the covenant promise of God through Jesus. Does that make sense? And the Bible says there was a woman who gave birth to a child, and there was a dragon who wanted to kill the woman and kill the child. The dragon represents the devil. And then the Bible says that there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels took on the dragon and his angels, and the dragon and his angels were defeated and kicked out of heaven. That is both a flashback and a flash forward. It is John seeing something that has already happened in the past when Lucifer first rose up against God and was kicked out of heaven to the earth, to roam on the earth. But he's also showing John at the same time what is going to ultimately happen at the beginning of the end of all things. You follow me so far? So John is seeing this picture. While John is seeing this flashback / flash forward at the same time, he sees the dragon being defeated, and what we come to in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, is the victory song in heaven that takes place. And at the victory song in heaven that takes place, we get a glimpse into what's happening spiritually and what is going on in our lives in the present tense, in our struggle, and in our fight for faith. And the song says, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ, The accuser of our brothers, that's the devil, of our brothers and sisters, has been thrown down to earth, and the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him. Here's our insight, our nugget, into what we have going on in the present tense, in our present term. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their life so much as the death. So we see here that in our present, there are two things that defeat the enemy in our lives. Everybody understand this? Everybody follow me so far? John's seeing a flashback. He's seeing a flash forward. Seeing all this crazy stuff happening. And yet right in the middle of that, he sees something that can apply to our lives in the present tense. God is an awesome God to be able to wrap all that up into one moment of truth. He says they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb in the word of their testimony. So two things that defeat the enemy: the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let's talk about first real quick. Let's talk about the blood of the Lamb. Obviously, we know what that is. The blood of the Lamb is the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, shed his blood for you and me on a hill called Calvary. Amen? He gave his life for you and me. The Bible says in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Basically, because the penalty of sin is death. So every time I sin, something or someone has to die. I'm the one who should die. Jesus said, I will shed my blood in your place for your sin. Does that make sense? And because there has been blood shed, we can find forgiveness. Amen? You follow me so far? So the blood of the Lamb represents our forgiveness. Now we have here, it says, he calls the enemy, the dragon, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. That gives us a picture of this, and we can see this all the way back in the Old Testament in the book of Job, where the Bible says that Satan walked into the throne room of God and began to accuse Job to God's face, and he does the same thing to you and me right now in heaven. Listen to me close. The dragon, the enemy of your soul, Satan, is accusing you and me before God, saying, look at all the junk they've done. Look at how terrible they are. How can you love those people? How can you have died for those people? Look at all the ways they're messing up. Look at all the ways they're treating people badly. Look at all the sin they're having in their life. And what is defeating him right now is that Jesus is also there at the right hand of God the Father, and over every accusation that the enemy throws against our lives, Jesus takes a paintbrush and says, it's been marked over with my blood. And so when God sees the accusation, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. So we overcome the accusations of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, our forgiveness of sins. Amen, somebody. And if you are in this place this morning and you do not know Christ, you do not know Jesus, you have not accepted his sacrifice for you on the cross, then my urging to you today is to get your life under that blood. Amen? And we know about the blood. That's something we talk about a lot. We sing about it. We talk about it. But that's not where the story stops. That's not where the song stops. It says they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and what else? What else? By their testimony. By their testimony. Now, what is my testimony? What is your testimony? Listen to me close. Here's a real easy definition of what a testimony is. Listen to me close. Your testimony is the moment where your story becomes part of his story. That's my testimony. When my life's journey gets under the blood of Jesus and my story now becomes his story, that's called a testimony. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a testimony. Turn to somebody else behind you and say, you have a testimony. The moment my story becomes his story is my testimony. And here's what we have to understand. It says they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Put the scripture back up there for me, verse 11. I'm sorry, 12:11. I want us to make sure we see this properly. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb or their testimony. Is that what it says? Hold up, what now? Over here, make sure we got. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb or their testimony? And their testimony. Meaning I've got to have what's before the and what's after the and to defeat the enemy. They're both important. Amen? The blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. You're going to hear me say the word of their testimony, because that's what the King James says, and that's usually what I've learned that scripture in. So I defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I want you to understand this as well. It says this. Look at it real quick. It says, and they, who's they? They is in verse 10 where it talks about the accuser of our brothers and sisters. You know who that is? That's you and me, the brothers and sisters, the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ, believers in Christ. They, that's who they is. Everybody say that's who they is. Some of you English people weren't, your Englishness wouldn't allow you to say that. Englishness, that's another word, probably not proper. Anyway, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, you know, they said you can't say that. And I was like, who said? They said, well, they did. Well, who's they? And we were like, well, I don't know, but they said it. They knew who they are, and they're the ones saying what you can and cannot say. But here's what you understand. In this instance, you and I are the they. We, now you see, this is important because this is what you got to understand. We are the they who defeat the enemy. Let me say it again. We, you and I, are the they who are defeating the enemy. Well, I thought God was going to do it. God has already done it. God did it 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified and then a dead man came back to life and ascended to heaven. God already has done the victory. God already has done everything that he needs to do to win victory and to establish a victory in your life. Amen? Now, when my story becomes his story, what happens is this. My life becomes a canvas that God wants to paint his picture of victory on. That's how every one of us should view our lives. My life is a canvas for God to paint a picture of his victory over the enemy upon. Amen? Every struggle you're going through, it's a picture that God's painting victory on. If I don't let it defeat me. Come on, somebody. Every moment I'm going through of heartache, guess what? It's a picture of victory that God will paint on in my through my life if I allow God to work in my life in that struggle. Amen? My story becomes part of his story, and then my life becomes a canvas that God chooses to paint a picture of victory upon. So, for the most of our time over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at this and looking at this question. How do I have a dragon-slaying story? How do I live my life to be a life, a story that kills the dragon? The dragon being the enemy. Because he said they are the ones that defeated him. Who's they? We're they. It's not some they off in the sky somewhere that we don't know who they are. We are they. Everybody say it again. I is they. How do I have a dragon slaying story? Well, we're going to get back to what we were talking about a minute ago. The first part to having a dragon slaying story is I've got to have the right main character in my story. And in case you don't know yet, listen, the right main character of your story is not you. It's Jesus. The very first thing I've got to do if I'm going to have a testimony that defeats the dragon, that kills the dragon, is I've got to have the right main character in the story of my life. And the right main character in your life story and my life story is Jesus. Jesus is the main character. Jesus is the main character of this story. All the way from the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, it is all about Jesus. All the way to the very end in Revelation chapter 19, as God's creating a new heaven and a new earth, and he declares Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the main story. Jesus is the main character. And in my life, I've got to allow Jesus to become the main character of my story if I'm going to have a story that kills the dragon. Amen? Now, too often, we have some other main character in the story of our life. Obviously, often, we become the main character of our story. We live our lives in such a way where I'm the main character and it's about me, and Jesus and me are on a sidekick buddy comedy running through life, and he's my sidekick and I'm the main story. That's not the right view of life if my story, if my testimony is going to defeat the dragon. I've got to step aside and let Jesus become the main character. This happened in John the Baptist's life. You know, John the Baptist, before Jesus became on the scene, John the Baptist was the man. He was pastor in the megachurch. He had the following. He had the crowd. He was anointed. He was the great preacher. Thousands upon thousands were following John the Baptist into the middle of the desert to be baptized. You ever seen that in the Bible? And then the Bible says Jesus comes along, and he begins to baptize people, and people begin to follow Jesus. And some of John's boys came to John, and they were like, hey, John, there's this cat. Now, this is a different John, not the same John that we're talking about here in Revelation, just so there's no confusion. This is John the Baptist, a different John. I know it's confusing when there's the same names. John in the Bible was like Justin at Red Life Church. There's like 10 million Justins, okay? I mean, around here, if you say Justin, you're about a 50-50 chance that somebody's going to answer. So, anyway, John the Baptist, some of John's boys come and say, John, a lot of people are leaving our crew and they're going over here down the street and they're following Jesus. And John said this. John said, he must become greater, I must become less. Amen? And if we're going to have a story that kills the dragon, I've got to somehow stop being the main character and I've got to let Jesus be the main character in my story. Amen? Some of us, we're not the main character, and Jesus is the main character, but we have a bunch of struggles and a bunch of heartache and a bunch of pain and a bunch of abuse and a bunch of stuff from the past that has become the main character in our story. Some of us, the stuff that I've gone through in my life, that's the main character, and everything in my life story is about that moment where I was hurt, that moment where I went through a struggle, that moment where I got sick, that moment where I did this, or that moment where someone did this to me, and we are allowing that thing to become the main character in our story. Friend, if the main character of my story is something that happened to me or something that I went through or something that someone did to me, guess what? I'm not going to have a dragon-killing story. I've got to allow Jesus to even be the main character over my struggle, over my hurt, over my pain, over my heartache, over my shame. I've got to let Jesus be the main character in that story. Amen. Now, that is enough to set some of you free right now in this place. You do not have to allow the failures and the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups and the abuse and the things from your past be the main character in your story anymore. Jesus can be the main character. And when I allow Jesus to become the main character, I begin to have a story that can kill the dragon. Now, two things will happen when I allow Jesus to become the main character in my story. The first thing is this: my story will begin to matter. Amen? My story will begin to matter. You know what one of the most popular Google searches, one of the most popular book searches that you'll find at Barnes & Noble are books on purpose, books on making my life matter. There's something on the inside of us that every one of us want to live a life that matters to somebody. Amen? I think if we're all honest and took an honest self-assessment, none of us want to live, breathe, and die and nobody care. Right? We all want to have some sense of purpose, some sense of significance. Can I tell you something, though? The only true way to really find a story and to have a live a life and a story that matters and to really try to find true purpose and true significance is to step aside from being the main character in the story and allow Jesus to become the main character in the story. Amen? To live a story that matters, I've got to make Jesus the main character instead of myself. And when I allow Jesus to become the main character, friends, my story will begin to matter. And here's why my story will begin to matter. Because the second thing that happens, when I allow Jesus to become a main character, the main character in my life story, here's what happens. As long as I'm the main character, I play a very large part in my story. In fact, it's the main part. But my story will stay small. When I allow Jesus to become the main character, I take a supporting role, if you will, but my story now gets connected to a much larger, much bigger, and frankly, a much better story when he becomes the main character in my life. So I may be a, so I can have a choice. I can stay the main character, I can stay the leading man, I can stay my own leading man and whatever, and I can have a small story, but I can have a big part in it, or I can step aside and let Jesus be the main character, let Jesus call the shots, let Jesus be the leading man, and I can be connected to a much bigger story. Here's why. Because if I'm the main character, my story will, no matter how great a success in earthly eyes my story may be, the reality is this: if my story ends and begins with me, then when I end, my story will end. And I may be remembered by my kids and possibly by my grandkids, but let's face it, after that, my story is over. But when he is the main character, I become connected to a story that is being that has been being played out since the beginning of time and will continue to be played out throughout all of eternity. So it becomes a bigger story. When I surrender my story to his story, when I surrender my life to Christ, when I allow Christ to be the main character in my story instead of me being the main character in my story, then guess what? I just connected my story to every story that's ever gone on through history. I just connected my story all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to Genesis 1, verse 2, verse 3, when he says, "Light be," and it was. My story just got connected to that in Christ. Amen? Not only that, my story is connected all throughout all of the New Testament, all throughout Paul and all of his missionary journeys. My story is connected to that. My story is connected to all the stories of Jesus bringing healing to people throughout the Bible. My story is connected to that when he's the main character. When he's the main character, my story is connected to everyone else's story that's following Jesus and everything else that he's doing in the earth today. Can I tell you something? God is doing some amazing things in the earth today. Amen? God is healing people in the earth today. God is delivering people in the earth today. God is birthing revival in nations of the world all over the place today. Even in our own nation, God is moving in churches and people are getting saved and baptized and healed by the droves all over places. And guess what? We are connected to that story when we are connected to him as the main character. Amen? So I can choose to be a big shot in my own small story where it's just about me, or I can allow him to be the main character and be connected and be a smaller part, but yet be part of a bigger story. I don't know about you, I want to be part of a bigger story. Amen? I want to be part of a bigger story. That means I got to let him be the main character. I wonder if sometimes, the reason sometimes that we struggle to see victory in our lives, I wonder if sometimes it can't trace its roots back to the fact that I'm looking still to myself to be the hero of my story. Amen? And we got to be careful, because sometimes we can be in church. Listen to me close now. We can be in church. We can come to church every Sunday. We can be involved. We can be in leadership. We can be using our gifts. But we can still remain the hero of our stories. Amen? I believe, you can be saved and forgiven. Listen, it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I can be under the blood of the Lamb, yet still be holding on to my story and be the main character in it. Amen? So it sounds like this. Sometimes our story sounds like this. Well, you know, I didn't really serve God. I didn't really know much about Jesus. I kind of did my own thing, partied, drinking, did a bunch of crazy things, wound up in jail. Just kind of did my own thing. And then here's where it happens. And then I went to church. And then I started reading my Bible. And then I started doing this and I started doing that. And then I started singing the songs. And then I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I began to allow God to move. And our story is a lot still, even though Jesus is in it, it's still a lot about what I did. Amen? I went to church. I started changing my life around. I started doing this. I started doing that. Let me tell you something. I've tried to do a lot of that and failed. It wasn't until I said, Jesus, only you can do something significant of change in my life, that anything really began to transform. Amen? Amen? Listen, when it's me doing the changing, I am only able to change to the ability that I have to do it and to the discipline that I have. Now, some of you are very self-disciplined. Some of you are I can be very self-disciplined. I can do the same thing again and again and again and again and again if I feel like it's what I'm supposed to do. I can do that. I have that ability, okay? So I can just, by sheer grit of my own personality, I can make something happen in my life often, okay? Some of you don't have, some of you are not, and this is not a better, it's not a better and, some of you are not disciplined. So when you're not, then, and so what I'm saying is this, I'm saying this for myself. I've got to be very careful because I know that I can bring life, I can bring outer changes to myself that will look to you like God is doing something in my life. Because I can just grit my teeth and bear it. I've got that bull personality, you know what I mean? Just charge ahead, okay? But it may just be me doing it, okay? And you can look at it and go, oh, look at all the changes that he's making. Man, God's doing something. And we know that today God is ultimately responsible, but it's still me. And so my testimony, my story sounds like this. Yeah, I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I started eating right. I started doing this. I started doing that. I forgave. Man, it sounds like who the main character is, real simple. It's me. Amen? But when I begin to say, I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't do it myself, and I had nowhere else to turn, and Jesus showed up in my life, and he began to bring transformation, and he began to bring change in my life. Now I've got the right main character starting out. Come on, somebody. And the great thing about having Jesus, the main character, is now he's the one responsible for bringing transformation in my life. Now I've got someone bringing life change into my life that is not me. And so I can have truly a greater power in my life working outside of just how strong and how determined and how disciplined I can be. Amen? And so I wonder sometimes if some that we're like, God, I read all these scriptures about how we are overcomers. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's the key thing. We are more than conquerors through him. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is about the blood of the Lamb in our lives. We are overcomers through him. Victory in our lives are through him. And I wonder sometimes if we read these scriptures, like, I read this. How many of you have done this? I read the text. I read the book. I know what the word says. Why don't I see it in my life? Amen? Why am I still struggling with this addiction? Why am I still struggling with that bitterness? Why am I still struggling in this area of my, why am I not seeing? I wonder sometimes, we need to ask ourselves, wait a minute. Am I trying to do this through him, or am I just trying to do this through me? Am I the hero, or is he the hero? And friends, Jesus is the hero. Amen? We were meeting one Sunday morning a few weeks before church with some of our volunteers and leaders, and we do that on Sunday mornings. We pray together before every service. There's a crew of people in here, just in case you didn't know. For every service, when you walk in this door, there is a crew of people in here that have been praying. Band has been practicing. People have been preparing. When we get together every Sunday morning, we usually share a communion together and we pray. And I usually ask God to give me something to say to him. Sometimes I have something, sometimes I don't. But I shared with our team the other day, I don't know how long ago it's been, but I said, guys, none of us in this group are the hero here. Justin Bradley's not the hero of Red Life Church, and neither are you. And I'm not the hero of my own story, my own life. The only hope that we have is to surrender ourselves and our story to Christ and let him be the hero. Amen? But Jesus, stand with me all over this room this morning. I know for some of us that's a hard pill to swallow. But I'm going to say it anyway. You are not the hero of your story. Boy, I know that's tough to digest sometimes. I'm talking about, listen, I'm talking about I want to have a story that defeats the dragon. Amen? If I want to have a story that defeats the dragon, I'm not the hero. You are not the hero. You are not the hero. The hero in all of our story and the main character has to be Jesus. As you guys begin to play, here's a question I want to ask for us this morning. This is not necessarily are you saved or are you unsaved? Are you going to heaven or hell? This is what kind of story are we living? And I want to ask us this. Do we need to have a little casting change in some of our stories this morning? Do we need to look around at at the story that we're painting and that we're writing and that we're filming or whatever you want to call it with your life right now? And if we were to honestly take an honest assessment, do we need to look and maybe say, you know what, man? This story just ain't working. This cast of characters right now, it's just not right. And if that's the answer, and we're saying, man, something's just not right here, something just doesn't feel right in this story, then guess what? We might need to do a little recasting today. We might need to do a little recasting and make a little casting change to our story if we want a dragon-killing, dragon-slaying, cut-the-head-off-the-dragon, stomp-him-in-the-teeth story. That's the one I want to write. Amen? Then I might need to make a casting change and say, God, I've been trying to be the main character, and there's no victory in that. I cannot defeat the dragon with me as the hero. We might just need to take a minute and say, Jesus, I want to invite you to be the hero of my story. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place this morning. Nobody looking around. Let's just take a second and let's get quiet for a moment before the Lord, just for a few minutes. Not even a few minutes, just a few moments. Just take a second and ask yourself. Take a quick inventory of your life. Check your heart. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to let us be honest with you and with ourselves right now in this moment. Lord, any area of our lives, Lord, if we're writing our story, if we're living a story with us as the main characters and us as the heroes, Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would just begin to show us those areas of our lives that that's the case. And help us begin to make that right. Help us begin to make that right. Lord, help us to begin to step aside. Help us step aside and let you be the main character, Lord. This place today, and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. You feel something stirring up in your heart. I believe that could be the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart saying, man, it's time to let somebody else be the hero. It's time to let somebody else be the main character. Aren't some of you tired of bearing the weight and the responsibility? Of having to be the hero of your own life? Guess what? Jesus died so you don't have to be. He said, you bring that burden, you bring that responsibility to me. You let me be the main character. You let me be the hero. Take a step back. Let me be the hero in your life. If you're in this place this morning, man, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, man. We're going to open the altars up in just a moment if you want prayer. But I'm not going to force you to come. But I am going to ask you, man, if the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now, you say, man, Pastor Justin, if I'm honest, I need to do some recasting in my life. I need to let Jesus be the main character in my life. And listen, for some of you, that may mean that you need to surrender your life to Him and accept His sacrifice for sin and begin a relationship with Him. That's fine. Some of you, you've accepted that. You've accepted your forgiveness. You've accepted what Jesus did for you on the cross. But man, you're still the main character, and that's just a subtle shift that needs to happen in your heart. Whatever side of that you are on right now, if that's you, we just raise your hand right now, all of us. Raise your hand right now. Keep it up for just a moment. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your realness and openness. I want the prayer team to come forward this morning. Our intercessors and prayer team, I'm going to close in prayer. The band is going to sing one final worship song to lead us out today. And as we pray and as we begin to worship, if you need prayer in any area of your life, whether it's about this message, whether it's about something the Holy Spirit is doing right now, whether or not you may have a surgery or a doctor's appointment this week that you want some prayer over, come and find prayer today. Let's connect in prayer. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to begin the recasting in our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for every hand that was raised, for those that, God, you're dealing with, Lord, that for whatever reason could not raise their hand today, God, whatever you're speaking to us, Lord, I pray every area of recasting that needs to happen in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives, I pray that you do it in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe you have called each and every one of us to live a story that defeats the enemy. You said that they, that is us, have defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, we will have a dragon-killing testimony that begins with you as the main character in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, we surrender our story to your story, and we declare in our lives, God, we are not the heroes, you are, and we give you full permission to be that and to do so in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.